Welcome to the Sunday School Hour, where each lesson builds upon the foundation of Christ. Grab your Bible, and let's join our teacher, Joe Thornton, as he guides us in this week's study.
We're in James chapter number 2. We will be picking up where we left off last time. Today we'll be looking at verses 24 through 26. So if you have your Bibles, I invite you to turn to James chapter 2, verse number 24. Follow along as I read. The Bible says, "Ye see then how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only. Likewise also was not Rahab the harlot justified by works, when she had received the messengers, and had sent them out another way? For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also." Well, up to this point, James has been hammering away at the relationship between faith and works. Now remember, faith is what leads us to Christ. But we learned in verses 14 through 17 that genuine faith is always evidenced by works. In verses 18 through 20, James had pointed out that a dead faith is worthless even if it is theologically correct, because there's no fruit, because there is no life. In other words, we learned that you may intellectually know how to become a Christian, you may intellectually know what to believe, but until a person literally and actually trusts Jesus Christ as Savior, be missing heaven by approximately 18 inches, the difference between the heart and the head. In verses 21 through 23, last time, he used the example of Abraham. By comparing Scripture, we learned that the righteousness of Christ is imputed to our account the moment we trust in the person and work of Christ, just as it was in the life of Abraham, the father of faith. Remember, we saw in Genesis chapter 15, when the righteousness of God was imputed unto Abraham, and it wasn't until many years later that God required Abraham to offer up his son Isaac, and he was obedient to that command and was about to plunge the knife when God stopped him. Several years took place in between those two events, and yet James referred to the example of Abraham as him showing he was justified by his works. He had actually been justified many years prior, but he proved his justification because of his willingness to be obedient to God. His willingness to offer Isaac as a sacrifice in obedience to God's command, Abraham showed himself justified, and even today we see it in the examples in Scripture. In today's lesson, we're going to look at another historical example of faith, and that is Rahab the harlot. But let's begin at verse 24, as we'll once again see the context of James' teaching about works. The Bible says in verse 24, "Ye see then how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only." Now, unlike Paul, who taught justification without works, if you remember, Paul penned in Romans 3, verse 28, "Therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law." In other words, from Paul's standpoint, when he talked about justification, he was talking about when a person gets saved. James emphasizes that the Christian life declares our righteousness by our works. Now, what I find interesting, sometimes people will try to put Paul against James and vice versa, but this is exactly what Paul believed as well, because in Romans chapter 1 of verse 17, he quotes from the Old Testament, and this is what the Bible says, "For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." Paul and James, they are in agreement. Paul even taught that once a person is justified, once they are saved, they are to live this life of faith by displaying works of righteousness. I like a quote that I found from John Stott. This is what he wrote concerning faith. He said, "Faith is the eye that looks to him," referring to Christ, "the hand that reaches out to receive his gift, the mouth that drinks the living water. Faith is nothing but the means by which we receive Christ." The Bible teaches that by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of works, lest any man should boast. It's the grace of God, it's turning to the Lord Jesus Christ and what he did for us that brings us to a relationship with himself, that we might receive his righteousness and be justified in the eyes of God. It's all about Jesus. Our faith is simply that gift that God gives us to accept him as our Savior and our Lord. There's two questions we ought to ask ourselves. Number one, who am I trusting? My friend, if you are trusting anything or anyone other than the Lord Jesus Christ, it's evidence that you've yet to be saved. It's evidence that you're trusting in some work or some person, maybe even yourself. And what you have done, my friend, that will not get you to heaven. Anyone other than Christ is evidence that we are truly lost and we haven't found true faith. The second question is, why am I working? My friend, we work because we are saved, not to be saved. There's a lot of folks that are involved in church and they're busy about this and busy about that, but have yet to establish a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus talked about those folks. He said that one day, at the judgment time, they would say, "Lord, Lord, have we not done all of these things in your name?" And Jesus is going to say, "Yeah, but there's a problem. I do not know you. I've never known you." In other words, there was never a personal relationship where these individuals trusted Christ as their Savior. Well, in verse 25, we get to the example of Rahab. And this is what James writes. "Likewise also was not Rahab the harlot justified by works when she had received the messengers and had sent them out another way." Now we move from the example of Father Abraham, the father of our faith, a very esteemed man. Was he perfect? No. Was he a sinner? Yes, he was a sinner. He made many mistakes. But now James is using the example of a pagan woman with a bad reputation. Now, the story that James is referring to is found in Joshua chapter number 2. So we're going to take time today, because this is what James is talking about. We're going to take time today to read that story. That's found in Joshua chapter 2. Let me begin reading in verse number 1. "And Joshua the son of Nun sent out of Chittim two men to spy secretly, saying, 'Go view the land, even Jericho.'" Let me take a moment and explain the background. The children of Israel are about to claim the promised land. God is about to send them forth, and they're going to go to battle against the city of Jericho. And Joshua, the captain of the army, the leader of the Israelites, he's sending forth these spies to spy out Jericho. Let me read on. "And they went and came into an harlot's house named Rahab and lodged there." Some commentaries will explain that she had perhaps an inn there at her home where strangers going through the city of Jericho would have a place to stay. And so these spies, when they entered into the city, would naturally go to a place like that whereby they could have lodging. And so this is what they did. They ended up at Rahab's house, and they lodged there. "And it was told the king of Jericho, saying, 'Behold, there came men in hither tonight of the children of Israel to search out the country.' And the king of Jericho sent unto Rahab, saying, 'Bring forth the men that are come to thee, which are entered into thine house, for they be come to search out all the country.' And the woman took the two men and hid them, and said thus, 'There came men unto me, but I wist not whence they were.' And it came to pass about the time of shutting of the gate, when it was dark, that the men went out. Whither the men went, I wot not. Pursue after them quickly, for ye shall overtake them. But she had brought them up to the roof of the house, and hid them with the stalks of flax, which she had laid in order upon the roof. And the men pursued after them the way to Jordan unto the fords, and as soon as they were pursued after them were gone out, they shut the gate. And before they were laid down, she came up unto them upon the roof. And she said unto the men, I know that the Lord hath given you the land, and that your terror is fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. Joshua, hearing this report from the spies, when they would come back and give it, what a wonderful report of how God is preparing and fostering this fear in the hearts and minds of the enemy. Let me read on in verse 10. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when ye came out of Egypt, and what ye did unto the two kings of the Amorites that were on the other side Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom ye utterly destroyed. And as soon as we had heard these things, our hearts did melt. Neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. And then let me stop here for just a moment. We're about to read Rahab's declaration of faith, and here it is. For the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and in earth beneath. Verse 12. Now therefore I pray you, swear unto me by the Lord, since I have showed you kindness, that you will also show kindness unto my father's house, and give me a true token, and that you will save alive my father and my mother and my brethren and my sisters and all that they have, and deliver our lives from death. Here Rahab was intervening for her family. It is so common when somebody comes to know Christ as Savior that one of the first things they want to do is witness to others that they too might experience that salvation. She was going to bat for her family, for them to be spared in the coming battle. Verse 14, And the man answered her, Our life for yours, if ye utter not this our business. And it shall be when the Lord hath given us the land that we will deal kindly and truly with thee. Then she let them down by a cord through the window, for her house was upon the town wall, and she dwelt upon the wall. And she said unto them, Get you to the mountain, lest the pursuers meet you, and hide yourselves there 3 days, until the pursuers be returned, and afterward may ye go your way. And the men said unto her, We will be blameless of this thine oath which thou hast made us swear. Behold, when we come into the land, thou shalt bind this line of scarlet thread in the window which thou didst let us down by. And thou shalt bring thy father and thy mother and thy brethren and all thy father's house home unto thee. And it shall be that whosoever shall go out of the doors of thy house into the street, his blood shall be upon his head, and we will be guiltless. And whosoever shall be with thee in the house, his blood shall be on our head, if any hand be upon him. And if thou utter this our business, then we will be quit of thine oath, which thou hast made us to swear. And she said, According unto your words, so be it. And she sent them away, and they departed. And she bound the scarlet line in the window. I'll just stop there for just a moment. That scarlet line that the men escaped down the wall was only seen on the outside. The people in the city did not see that, but God saw it. Let's continue on to verse 22. And they went and came into the mountain and abode there 3 days until the pursuers were returned. And the pursuers sought them throughout all the way, but found them not. So the two men returned and descended from the mountain and passed over and came to Joshua the son of Nun and told him all things that befell them. And they said unto Joshua, Truly the Lord hath delivered into our hands all the land, for even all the inhabitants of the country do faint because of us. Now I invite you, while you're in Joshua, to turn to Joshua chapter 6, verse number 17. The record says in Joshua chapter 6 and verse 17, now we're coming to the point where the battle is about to take place. Verse 17, And the city shall be accursed, even it and all that are therein, to the Lord. Only Rahab the harlot shall live, she and all that are with her in the house, because she hid the messengers that we sent. Now skip down to verse 22. But Joshua had said unto the two men that had spied out the country, Go into the harlot's house, and bring out thence the woman and all that she hath, as ye swear unto her. And the young men that were spies went in and brought out Rahab and her father and her mother and her brethren and all that she had, and they brought out all her kindred and left them without the camp of Israel. And they burnt the city with fire and all that was therein, only the silver and the gold and the vessels of brass and of iron they put into the treasury of the house of the Lord. And Joshua saved Rahab the harlot alive, and her father's household, and all that she had, and she dwelleth in Israel even unto this day, because she hid the messengers which Joshua sent to spy out Jericho. James gives us this wonderful example, a pagan woman with a bad reputation, and yet Rahab makes this wonderful declaration of faith that we read in Joshua chapter 2, when she said, The Lord your God, He is God in heaven above and in earth beneath. She put her trust and her faith and her belief in that God. And the evidence that her faith was genuine, I suggest three things today. The first thing is this, she risked her life to help the spies. She risked her life to help the spies. She's even listed in Hebrews chapter 11, Hall of Faith, when the Bible says, By faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace. You see, there's none of us that are so bad that God can't save us, and there's none of us so good that don't need to be saved. God took this woman of ill repute and lifted her up, and she's listed in the Hebrews chapter 11 Hall of Faith. What a wonderful example. And I'm reminded of my own sin and where God has taken me from and allowed me to accept Christ as my Savior and to become a child of God. God is offering that salvation, offering that gift to each and every one of us if we'll but do what Rahab did and put your faith and trust and belief in Him. She risked her life to help those spies. Had the king of Jericho understood that she had lied and that she was hiding the enemy, what would have happened to her and perhaps even to her family? She put it all on the line. Why? Because she trusted God. And then the second evidence that her faith was genuine, she's listed in the genealogy of Joseph, who actually was the father of James and the stepfather of Jesus, is found in Matthew chapter 1 in verse number 5. I do want to make a comment about this, however, but let's read the verse to start with. Matthew chapter 1 and verse 5, And Salmon begat Boaz of Rahab, and Boaz begat Obed of Ruth, and Obed begat Jesse. Now, if you go down to the end of the genealogies in Matthew chapter 1, we get to verse 16, we see where it's headed. And Jacob begat Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called Christ. Joseph was not the literal father of Jesus because Jesus was virgin born. He is the creator. He came to this earth as the God-man born of a virgin. So even though Joseph wasn't his literal father, in a legal sense, Joseph's status in the community was transferred to Jesus as well. But the point I want to make in verse number 5 is that Salmon begat Boaz of Rahab. So it's showing that Salmon here married to Rahab. And a lot of commentators will assume that Rahab in Matthew chapter 1 and verse 5 is the Rahab that we're referring to in our story. But we do not know that for sure. There's a good possibility it is the same, but I just tell you this in case when we get to heaven it's a different Rahab, we won't be totally surprised. But many commentators do believe that it's the same Rahab. But regardless, Abraham and Rahab both demonstrated their need and their trust in God. And certainly we look to her as a fine example of that. And then the third evidence that her faith was genuine is the sign of the scarlet line. It's interesting that when the spies said, "Now listen, put this line out so that we'll know to protect you," she didn't wait. She did it immediately. The sign of the scarlet line reminds us in Exodus chapter 12 that a lot of times God will use something as an example. Well, let me just read what the Bible says. Exodus chapter 12 and verse 13, "And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are, and when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt." When God was freeing the slaves, the Jewish slaves from Egypt, and taking them out of that situation, the blood was the token that showed that the death angel would pass over those Jewish homes. When we read our story about Rahab, the sign or the token was the scarlet line. We're also reminded in the scriptures that when our sins are as dark as scarlet, and yet the blood of Jesus Christ makes us white as snow. So the sign of the scarlet line. All of these things are evidence that the faith of Rahab was genuine. Go back to James now in chapter 2, and we end with verse 26, and this is the comparison. James says, "For as the body without the spirit is dead." Now get this vision in your mind. James is using an illustration here, a comparison. He says that here's a dead body. Why is it a dead body? How do we know it's a dead body? Because the spirit's no longer in that body. One of these days, if the Lord tarries his coming, we will all experience that. The real you, the real me, will leave this tabernacle, this old body, this tattered tent that's growing older day by day. And when that happens, all that will be left on this earth will be a body. It will be dead because the spirit has left. He says, just as that dead body, so faith without works is dead also. Now think about that. A dead faith is like a dead body. It's worthless. It's good for nothing. It can do nothing. What James is giving us in chapter 2 is not a comparison of faith and works. It is a comparison between genuine faith and a false faith. And James gives us different ways that we can test our faith to see if it's genuine, to see if it's real. Oh, I'm so fearful for those that think they're going to heaven but have never experienced a salvation experience. There's a danger of that. The Apostle Paul wrote in Titus chapter number 1 and verse 16, he said, "They profess that they know God, but in works they deny him, being abominable and disobedient, and unto every good work reprobate." He went on to write in Titus chapter 3 and verse 8, "This is a faithful saying, and these things I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men." Rahab's faith was a genuine faith. She responded to the truth with her mind, her intellect, believing what God revealed to her, but that wasn't enough. But she also responded with her emotions, recognizing her predicament if she did not trust God, but that wasn't enough. Thankfully, she also responded with her will. She was determined to act upon that knowledge of truth. So all of her mind, her emotions, her intellect, her will, all of these things, she trusted in God. Her life was never the same because saving faith is a living faith. Oh, my friend, let us always be mindful of this danger. May God bless you.
This has been the Sunday School Hour with Joe Thornton. Join us again next Sunday at the same time on this good station.